And as the number of coronavirus infections worldwide surpasses 3 million, the hunt for a vaccine grows ever more urgent. The health publication STAT has been tracking 13 potential vaccines. And for more on that, we're joined by STAT reporter Helen Branswell. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Tanya.
Let's talk through a few of these potential vaccines. The U.S.-based company Moderna Therapeutics set a drug industry record when it identified a vaccine candidate about 42 days after this novel coronavirus was sequenced earlier this year. What are they working on?
Well, first of all, they're partnered with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is one of the NIH institutes. They're trying to develop a vaccine that would generate antibodies to what's called the spike protein. If you've ever seen a picture of coronaviruses, they have these little dots surrounding them that look like a tiara or something, which is why they're called corona or crown viruses. Mm. And so Moderna and many other places, frankly, are working on developing antibodies to that spike protein. The way Moderna is doing it is something called mRNA. It's a technique that effectively delivers a little bit of messenger RNA that goes into cells and then effectively turns your own cells into a little vaccine factory. This gets into cells and spurs them to generate antibodies that hopefully will protect against the virus.
We're all getting science and biology lessons through all of this. Inovio Pharmaceuticals is also trying something else. They're trying to use DNA to develop a vaccine. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so they are also using a process where you would effectively deliver a small payload into the cells, and that would provoke the cells to start generating proteins. The thing to know about both Moderna and Inovio is that while their approaches are quicker in the early phase, neither of them have yet brought a vaccine to the market, which could slow things down later on because, regulatory agencies, the speed at the front may not be matched a little bit later on. That we'll have to see how that works out.
Yeah. Let's talk through a few more drug makers who are also working on potential vaccines. A Chinese company that developed an Ebola virus vaccine says it's moving to phase 2 trials soon. Mm-hmm. What efforts are underway there?
So that's CanSino. And yes, I think they've actually either started or are starting their phase 2 this week. Their vaccine is made by fusing a protein from the SARS-2 coronavirus onto another kind of a virus called an adenovirus, which is a kind of cold virus that can infect people. So the idea here is that this live virus vaccine can effectively present to somebody's immune system the main protein from that causes COVID-19. So this vaccine could not trigger the infection of COVID-19, but it could alert the immune system that this is an invader you want to be on the lookout for and get it to start generating antibodies. It's an increasingly common way of making vaccines.
Yeah, I want to talk about testing on humans. So of the 13 vaccine trials you're tracking, only 3 are being tested on people so far. What are some of the other trials that are currently underway?
So people will be hearing the terms clinical and preclinical a lot as we go forward.
Yep.
Preclinical work lays the groundwork for taking it into the clinic, which means starting to administer it to people. So there are several now that are in phase 1, and as you mentioned, one is in phase 2 human trials, and the others are doing the work that will hopefully lead to clinical trials in the near future.
Mm. We were hearing earlier this week about the Serum Institute of India that's going to produce, I think, 40 million units of an experimental coronavirus vaccine developed by researchers at Oxford University. Is that a promising effort?
Yeah, frankly, at the moment, that one's the one to watch. Mm. They're moving really, really quickly, and they've started a phase 1 and a phase 2 together, which is quite unusual. That will really compress the timeline for development of this vaccine. In fact, they are now saying that there may be enough data by September that this vaccine could start to be used under emergency use in the fall in limited ways. An interesting project and one to watch.
Yeah, which actually makes me wonder, once there is a vaccine, is it going to be just for vulnerable groups like healthcare workers at first? Do you have any sense of how a vaccine will actually be administered once it's developed?
I think those plans are still being worked out. I mean, one of the things I find concerning is when people are talking about timelines for vaccine, they aren't actually stipulating that publicly, but it is very true that in the early days, the amount of vaccine that will be available will be limited. And so it will be prioritized. Presumably, healthcare workers would be top of the list. Another thing that has to be considered is that there are real concerns that countries may nationalize production. So if it turns out that a vaccine that's made in country X is effective, that that country may effectively say, we will export once our needs are met. I was interested to see recently that Bill Gates wrote in a blog that while these vaccines should be distributed equally, you know, right off the bat, that probably isn't going to happen.
I mean, you've really laid out for us the complexities of why it might be really a complex or difficult proposition to come up with a vaccine quickly for everyone. I mean, a lot of folks are thinking, well, there's a vaccine every year for the flu. Why is it taking so long? But is it possible there won't ever be an effective vaccine against COVID-19? I mean, we have seen reports of people getting the disease, recovering, and then testing positive again. I mean, could that indicate that they're being reinfected? And would that mean anything for the viability of a vaccine?
A couple of things there. I mean, yes, there have been some reports out of China and out of South Korea that have raised the question about whether or not people can be reinfected really quickly. The thinking is that that probably isn't what's happening there, that rather than having recovered and been reinfected, that they probably had never stopped shedding virus, but that the testing was a bit faulty. So, you know, you got a couple of negative tests. They thought you were clear, but you were still emitting virus, and they tested you a third time, and somebody had a better testing technique and picked that up. But it is true that there's a lot of concern about how long any immune response to these viruses would last. But there are human coronaviruses that are related to this one, and they don't typically generate like long-term immunity. In some cases, people can be reinfected, you know, within about 10 months. So that again is unclear. I mean, whether this is a vaccine that would have to be given repeatedly in the course of a lifetime, like flu vaccine, or is something that you could get and maybe only have to renew on a 5 or 10 year cycle, sort of like a tetanus vaccine. Not clear at the moment. I guess there's always a possibility they won't be able to develop a vaccine, but at this point, it's way too soon to go down that road.
Yeah. And you know what? What I'm really hearing from you is that it really takes time. I mean, there are just so many things that we're learning in real time.
Right. That is true. And typically vaccines take, you know, 8 to 10 years to develop. I don't think that's going to be the case in the current situation because of the acute need and because of the realization that some of this work can be done in sort of overlapping ways. You will remember a few years ago in 2014, there was that very bad Ebola outbreak in West Africa. Merck took a vaccine that had never been given to people before. And within 10 months, that vaccine went from the first in human trial to completion of a phase 3 trial that showed that it worked. That was a record, obviously, for a vaccine. And it showed that kind of work can be done in a more compressed fashion if you need it to be. And if you have both the commitment to speed things up and the money to do it. And I think that we'll see that kind of an approach here.
That's Helen Branswell. She's an infectious disease and global health reporter for STAT. Thank you so much, Helen.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll link you to STAT's vaccine tracker at hereandnow.org.